Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
I'm Carrie Miller. This is NPR News. And I winced and then I laughed all too knowingly when I read the first sentence of this new book. My name is Patrice Banks and I'm a former auto airhead. Patrice adds, not too long ago, when it came to my relationships with cars, I was a hot mess. So was I, auto airheaded to the point where I burned up a perfectly good car engine long ago because I starved it of oil. Now, Patrice, a materials engineer turned auto mechanic entrepreneur, comes clean too. She admits that she's ill-treated some of her cars. She relates to the high anxiety that so many women feel about all things automotive. So as Patrice joins us, I'd like to hear from some of the women who are hanging out with us. What would make you more confident in purchasing a car or dealing with a car repair as a woman? Do you have an automotive airhead story? Don't we all? You can share them here with Patrice and with me. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828 on Twitter, at Carrie NPR. Yeah, I'm looking for your auto airhead stories. I just told you mine. Patrice will tell you hers. I want to hear from you. And what would make it easier? What would make it better? How could you be more informed in these interactions that you have on buying a car or going in to have your car repaired? 800-242-2828, 651-227-6000, and on Twitter, at Carrie NPR. Patrice Banks is the founder of Girls Auto Clinic and the author of the new book, Girls Auto Clinic Glovebox Guide. And she's with us today from Philly. Patrice, you are my hero. This is great. I mean, congratulations on this, on such a great idea. And, you know, for a book that really, for an attitude that really comes clean on something that I don't know why, that a lot of women are ashamed of. And I don't get it, but I share it.
Yes. Wow. Thank you for the introduction. I'm really happy to be here and speaking with you. And yeah, that's how I felt, very ashamed and insecure. And it's why I made bad decisions with my car. It's why I felt taken advantage of when I'd go into a mechanic or avoid it altogether. And so, you know, it wasn't a place in my life I was very empowered. And I'm an engineer. Being an engineer, I thought, this is crazy. Why do I feel this way about my car when I know I can understand these complex engineering parts and how they work? And I realized it was just me kind of subscribing to those stereotypes that a lot of women do. This isn't for us. It's for men. You're not going to get it. You need a guy to help you. Don't even bother. You know, even as an empowered woman, that's how I felt about my car. And I knew that was a problem that a lot of women shared with me.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I would never accept or buy into willingly into stereotypes about women ever. And yet I really let myself be swept along with the idea that, oh, I really couldn't learn about cars and what. Why even bother? Because, you know, I can always haul my husband along when I'm making a decision. It's stupid. I would never go. Are we conditioned to this, Patrice, from early on? I'm taking responsibility for myself here, but is there something that the culture tells us about this too?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. And that's kind of where it does fall on girls. And I recognized that this is something that I was subscribing to, and it was crazy. When you really step back and look at how society's kind of molded us into think what's okay for girls and boys. And I was in a male-dominated industry as an engineer, and I still didn't see it until I started empowering other young girls in STEM, and I saw how incredible these young girls were with STEM majors and their interests in it. And I thought, why do I feel this way about my car, and why aren't there women that know more? You know, my story is I didn't really want to become a mechanic. I was looking for a female mechanic. I just wanted to learn a little bit more. I thought I'd feel more comfortable and less ashamed with a woman to talk to. And I couldn't find one. And I started looking for resources online. I thought there's got to be something out there helping women. I know there's a million women out here who feel this way. And it was very limited what I found. So I thought, man, I have to go back to school and learn and see what this is all about, right? if it's something that I know I can do, I know other women can do it as well. And when I got to school, I was very intimidated. I'm 31 years old. I have 10 years as an engineer with DuPont. I'm a manager, right? Uh-huh. And I'm with 19-year-old boys, and I'm scared and I'm intimidated because I'm still thinking I'm not going to be good enough. I'm not going to know the right answer. I'm going to make a mistake. I'm going to be laughed at, and I'm going to fit the stereotype.
Jeez.
And I had to recognize that's what I was doing and kind of do the lean in, right, the step up and say, no, I'm here to learn. I'm not afraid to make mistakes. I'm not afraid to raise my hand. And people knew I wasn't playing around. I was in there to learn and to make my contribution. And as I started learning about cars, I loved it. And I thought, wow, this isn't hard. Women need to know this. I couldn't wait to share this with women and say, listen, ladies, here's the problem. Here's what we really need to know. Here's how we're going to be empowered to make the right choice with our car and feel good about all of our choices.
You've so struck a nerve. We've got full phone lines here. Let's hear what some of our listeners have to say to Sally in St. Paul. Sally, I just have a feeling you have an auto airhead story. Is that right?
It was pretty bad.
Do tell.
So I was 19, and I was driving to Montana, and my mom insisted on going with me in case something went wrong. We're driving across North Dakota, and the engine light comes on. Well, mm-hmm. neither of us thought to be concerned because we didn't know anything about cars. So we just kept driving, and we cracked the block in the middle of North Dakota because the car was out of oil. So we had to go to a hotel. We had to get a new engine put in. You know, and what is interesting looking back on this, I can see how maybe I made that mistake because I was pretty young, but my mom was, you know, in her 50s, and right. she didn't know either.
So many of us are turn the key and go.
Really yeah. stuff. And nobody keeps with them either. Nobody ever told me, watch for this.
Yeah. They give us the keys like me. They gave you the keys, and they say, okay, learn how to drive it. Here's the gas pedal. Here's the brake. Turn the key and go. I didn't know how to take care of my car. And the most important thing that you can do for your car is get your oil changed. And I see it all the time. Women don't know that. They don't know how often to get their oil changed. They don't understand the importance of oil changes, right? Do you want to spend $40 on an oil change or $3,000 on a rebuilt engine? And so, you know, a lot of the book, and I also do car care workshops, is teaching women, like, here's the basics that you need to know. You know, I often compare our cars and our relationships with our cars like our bad relationships with exes. And what do you like and look for in a relationship? Commitment, communication. You make sure the person knows you well inside and out and that they're loyal. But often we don't know our cars. We don't know how to take care of them in sickness and in health. We're not committed to taking care of them. We're often, you know, ashamed to take them in or wait to the last minute to take them in. They communicate with us every day, whether it's through dashboard lights or noises, and we often ignore it or pray that they go away. And then one of the biggest mistakes we make with our cars is we cheat on them by shop hopping around the different mechanics instead of going to what I call your PCT or your primary care technician. And so, you know, really changing the way that we view our cars and our relationship and how we treat them and knowing them and not to be worried about feeling ashamed, right? The book is kind of like, I've been there. Don't worry. We're going to help you with the right amount of knowledge that you know so you don't feel stupid. You feel confident. And people tell me they can't wait to go and talk to a mechanic read this book. They're like, I'm so excited to go in and try out my new knowledge. And that's the whole point. We want you to feel good when you leave the shop.
Patrice, you've definitely changed my attitude about this. And I've had, you know, a lot of cars. I really like what you say. You've coined this term she-canic, and you say, so here's one of the definitions of being a she-canic. She treats her car as she does her own body. She doesn't try to be her own physician. This is valuable. But she wants to know how to maintain her health and prevent sickness and disease. What you're really saying is be proactive and don't be afraid to be proactive, right?
Exactly. Yeah. There's nothing to be afraid of. You know, I talk about how I used to be afraid to peek underneath my hood. I didn't even know how to pop my hood, first of all. I couldn't even do that. And then once it was up, I was scared. I'm like, what is all this stuff over here? It looks like a puzzle of a bunch of pieces. I'm not going to get it. You know, kind of like I'm scared to look under the bed as a little kid because there's monsters under there. And, you know, it's having that courage just to say, I know I can do this. I know I can get this right and understand it. And so I try to break it down to people to where they understand that it's not as complex as you think. And if you divide and conquer and fully understand what makes your car work and why you need these certain basic maintenance items and why they need repairs, because everything on a car is going to fail eventually and you need to be prepared for it. And you need to know that. Don't expect nothing to go wrong and it's always going to be smooth. Exactly. Everything will fail, and how you can prepare yourself for that so you're ready instead of going in for an oil change and all of a sudden $700 later you're thinking, what is going on?
Ann says on Twitter, what would make me, a woman, more comfortable in auto shops? Smashing the patriarchy. Come on. Love that. And Kristen says, I ruined the engine of the family car as a teen. I'm so glad I'm not the only idiot who did this. Anyway, I won't go into more details about my own stupidity. Kristen says, this event revealed that my younger brother had car info from dad that I didn't. Let me grab a call here from Rick in St. Paul. Rick, it sounds like you're a dad who's teaching your daughter about cars, yes?
Yes, that's true. We started having her change her oil when she started driving. And we've kind of created the same model here at home that you described there, where after years of her coming over to change her oil, one day she said, well, I'm there. Can you dye my hair for me? And I said, well, sure.
What? So, wait a minute. You're giving her like a foil or something while she's changing her oil?
Not as complicated as a foil, but
I
did learn you need to do the roots first.
Rick, you are a progressive man.
Love that. A Renaissance man. Yes, I love that he's doing that. I speak to many older women who say, I wasn't allowed to drive until I learned how to change a tire and change my oil. My dad taught me that. And nowadays, the younger generation, their dads never really learned how to do that. So they're not teaching their kids that. It's kind of a lost skill, I guess, or something that we do when we drive, is learning these little basic things, because most people don't know. And it leaves us open to make bad choices, to be taken advantage of, and to really waste a lot of money with our cars.
So Rick heard me mention before we got on the air together that your repair shop is also a nail salon. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
How does this work, Patrice? I hope you're franchising, because, man, I want one of those right here.
Yeah. So, you know, when I first came up with this idea, you know, I was just looking to empower myself, and I was looking for a female mechanic and I couldn't find one. And so when I saw that there was a need there to not only provide resources to educate women, but also services, you know, to change their experiences with car buying and repair, I wanted to open a shop. And for me as an auto airhead, I when I worked at DuPont, me and my girlfriend would go to this specific quick lube place because there was a nail salon next to it. We'd drop our car off and we'd go get our nails done. We were all about multitasking. And I thought, you know, women don't look forward to getting their oil changed, but we definitely look forward to getting our nails done. And I would love to have something I look forward to doing while I get my oil changed, and I'm more likely to go get my oil changed, right? If I'm looking forward to going instead of thinking, oh my God, I gotta get my oil changed, I gotta build up the strength to go in there and get taken advantage of, right? And to be uncomfortable. And so I thought, this is perfect, right? And then it's crazy because I'm telling people I can't find a female mechanic, but I'm gonna open a shop and hire female mechanics. And everybody asks me now, how do you find these women? I have 5 girls that work at my shop. And when I started getting out there, talking about my dream, how I wanted to help women, and I started teaching women with my car care workshops, I didn't have to find these female mechanics. They found me.
Really?
And they are incredible. None of them were working on cars at the time. They all had the skills to, but faced a lot of discrimination in the industry. And they drop out a lot of times if they don't fit in. They don't have female mentors or a career path for them in automotive repair. And they were looking for an opportunity. And that's when I realized this could be impactful in terms of empowering women in this industry as well. I could hire women to cater to women who are the number one customer. So I tell people, a Girls Auto Clinic is not an automotive company. We're a female empowerment company. I'm here for women to help solve their problems when it comes to their car and how we can include them more. Since we are the number one customer, we need to be in more positions of ownership and influence and empower. And so, yeah, I would love to franchise these or grow shops across the country and have women owning them and women working at them and men as well. We have males that work there, too, because we have male customers. Mm-hmm. And really changing the face of the industry and what people think a mechanic is.
If you've just joined the discussion, Patrice Banks is with us. You can hear her describing her business model and her ambitions. She's the founder of Girls Auto Clinic and the author of the new book, Girls Auto Clinic Glove Box Guide. It is going right into the glove box after this conversation
yes.
for me. And I'm asking you, what would make you more confident in purchasing a car or mm-hmm. dealing with car repair as a woman? I mean, so we're sharing our auto airhead stories, and I'm feeling better already about the stupid mm-hmm. things I've done with my car. Mm-hmm. But Patrice mm-hmm. and I want to know, what would make you more confident when you go out to buy the car or you get your car repaired? Talk to us about it, too. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828, on Twitter, at Carrie NPR, to Kelly in Prior Lake. Hi, Kelly. Glad you're listening. What are you thinking about?
Hi. Well, first of all, I really want to commend Ms. Banks because I certainly do try to seek out businesses that are female-owned and especially in technology or other professional areas. But I am personally disappointed that the auto shop is combined with a nail salon because in my mind that perpetuates more stereotypes about females, both about the activities that we would choose to engage in and about stereotypes about beauty and how we are supposed to look. Mm. So for me, it's really off-putting to think of a nail salon along with a garage for those reasons. And I'd be more comfortable in the garage than in the nail salon.
Would you?
The great thing about
Patrice.
The great thing about it is there's a salon there, but it's not just a salon. It's a clubhouse for women. We have an area where you can bring your kids to play and watch TV. There's an area where you can work. There's an area where you can read by a window seat, and there's also a salon there to get your nails done. You can also get your hair done. The men come in and get manicures and pedicures as well. It's not something that's saying, well, you know, women are pretty and we have to get our nails done. It's there as an option because a lot of women do enjoy being pampered. I know I like to clean my nails after I've been working on a car. I was thinking of myself, too, being a mechanic, and they get greasy and dirty, and it helps keep our nails clean. Having a nail salon right there. And so it's just, understanding that these are things that women do enjoy doing. And I'm not sure if it's a stereotype, but to provide all of these aspects for today's woman. If she wants to be pampered, she can be. If she doesn't, she can hang out and watch TV or do some work. We offer refreshments in the area. I really wanted to create a space to be around other dope women doing amazing things, you know. And so many of our customers come and they bring their kids and sons and daughters because they want to see women working on cars and see this business that's very unique that's being run by women to show what women are capable of doing.
I want to say something about communication with mechanics because this is one of your key principles. That you find a mechanic that you can know well and trust and that you are not embarrassed to say, hey, I don't really get this. Explain to me again for the third time why you mm-hmm. feel like we need to do this repair. That's the other thing that I think a lot of us recoil from is we don't want to look stupid. And so we don't want to press the mechanic on, you know, two or three times to say, well, now what, describe this to me. Why are we doing this again?
And what you need to know is, because this is how I felt. I don't want to seem stupid because I'm asking again because I don't understand it. So I must be dumb. If they can't explain it to you or you understand it, they don't understand it well enough themselves.
Really?
It's kind of that Albert Einstein quote, you know, I'm paraphrasing here. If you can't explain it to a five-year-old, you don't get it yourself. What makes my book really useful is the fact that there's no over your head technical terms. I break it down in a way that's very relatable that even a 10-year-old kid could read and say, oh, I get it. That's how my engine works, right? And so I tell women, if they can't explain it to you, if they're not comfortable showing it to you and taking you out there and saying this is what's going on with your car in a way that makes you feel comfortable, get out. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to explain it to you, which tells me that they're fully not understanding what's going on with this car. go find another mechanic that can, and it makes you feel comfortable with your choice. It's very important, and it's okay to you know, date around. We're so afraid to go around to somebody else because we have that fear. I'm going to feel this way again. I'm going to feel this way again. Have the courage and the confidence to put yourself out there. Ask those questions. If you don't feel good about them, leave. This is your money. You should feel good about it. And there are mechanics out there that are going to help you feel comfortable with your choice. You know, you mentioned about being confident and how we can be more confident in the repair. And one thing I would say, besides getting this book, because it's going to teach you, you have to know your car. And that sounds scary, right? When I say know your car, but this book is going to teach you where it's not scary, where it's digestible, and you can get it. And it's fun. I put my own stories in there, right? Relatable and kind of really to the point. Also, finding your PCT, your primary care technician, that gets rid of 75% of your anxiety, right? That's I have a PCP, my primary care physician. I don't shop around for different doctors every year for my checkups or when I'm sick. Why do we do that with our cars? Your PCT understands your car history, all of its quirky things about it, right? How you take care of it. They understand your driving habits, and they're going to help you take care of your car and make sure that you're taken care of and that your car is safe. And so that gets rid of a lot of your anxiety there, is just taking the time to find that work, that right PCT for you. And, you know, just making sure you know your car and how to take care of it when it's communicating to you and when it needs to be, you know, repaired or for maintenance. And the best way against the upsell to go in there is to know your maintenance schedule. Every car has its own maintenance schedule. These rules of thumbs, like getting your oil changed every 3,000 miles or 3 months, are outdated. Every car is different now. It's based on the make and manufacturer of the car. And so if you have a 2007 Kia Sorento, your oil is supposed to be changed at a different time interval than my 2010 Ford Explorer. And so there's a little maintenance section in your owner's manual or a separate booklet that's going to tell you when to get your oil changed, your fluids flushed, your brakes checked, your tires rotated. That's your best defense on an upsell, because it's saying, here's your guide to take care of your baby. Follow this.
So
when you go into a mechanic and they say, yeah, you need this, you need that, you can pull it out and say, well, based on my mileage and what I'm doing, here's what I need. Here's what I know I'm going to need, or it's coming up.
Here's an example for listeners. When Patrice says she mixes her own stories in with a lot of great diagrams and just easily digestible information here, this was helpful to me. She says, I used to hate it when mechanics told me I needed to plunk down an extra $30 to replace my engine air filter after I'd finally dragged myself in for an oil change. They'd say something about engine performance or gas mileage, and I'd usually tune them out. This was a mistake. Engine air filters aren't upsells. I've always believed this is just another way for them to get more cash.
Yeah, and it can be, right? Your engine air filter needs to be replaced about every other oil change, or once a year, or once every 2 years, depending on how often you drive. And I didn't know that. And most of the time they come in and they show you an air filter, you don't even know if it's yours or not. So one of the things in my workshops, I teach women how easy it is to find your air filter and replace it yourself. It's two little or three little tabs sometimes that you just pop off. But understanding the importance, there's a little section in the book called Does Your Car Have Boogies? And it talks about why we need air filters.
That's what I was reading from, yeah.
Yeah, why do we need air filters and what's really going on? And if it gets really bad, what happens when it gets really bad, you know? And so you know if you need that air filter when they bring it to you. Tell them to take you out to your car. If they're afraid to take you to your car and show you on your car, get out of there. Yeah, get out of there.
Christina says on Twitter, I killed an engine in my 20s. Geez, I'm feeling so much better here. She says, now get routine oil changes. I'm 33 now. I still have my dad talk to the mechanic when there's a big job. Christina, I have three words for you: Girls Auto Clinic and then the Glove Box Guide. You won't have to have your dad step in for you. And,
I get a lot of those stories, and that's okay to have, like, well, my husband takes care of this, you know, and I understand. But, you know, there's a story of a girl I went to college with, and she was a chemical engineer, and she's now a stay-at-home mom, and her husband works, and she takes the car in for repair. And when the mechanic calls her to talk about it, he says, well, can I talk to your husband? Or she says, let me call my husband. And that wasn't very empowering for her, because she's a chemical engineer, and she thinks that and knows that she is very capable of talking to this mechanic about what's going on with the car.
Right.
But it's still, again, these stereotypes that we fall into, and it's okay if you're okay with that. But there are some women who say, no, I would like to be able to talk to this man without having to say, I need my dad to help me understand this.
To the phones to Debbie, listening in McHenry, Illinois. Debbie, what's your story?
Hi, Patrice. Thanks for the topic. I had to, it's like a requiem on my little Audi, and I religiously took it to one dealer. You know, they have different mechanics, but the service advisors were the same. Got to be friends with them. You know, they didn't treat me like, treated me like their sister. And did everything, and then started to, you know, as it got older, needed more work, which I understand. But then it got to the point where it was under 3,000 with new tires. But, and then I'm coming home like Labor Day, and it just quits, just like in The Graduate. You know, it's not funny, but, you know, you got to look at the bright side. And it was the timing belt. And I just feel so... You know, I did everything, took it. It was like a half-day trip to the same mechanic dealership because, you know, being European, there's only three places.
Debbie, I have to cut to the chase here a little bit. Are you saying you did, you took care of your car and you did everything you should do and you're feeling a little betrayed because your car still...
Yes, okay.
Yeah, because her timing belt broke and that's something that's...
Yeah.
And the timing belt's like preventative maintenance. And I feel so bad because this is one of the things I teach about my workshops in the book is you have two types of belt in your car, a serpentine belt and a timing belt. And I really feel like the dealership dropped the ball here because part of being your PCT is saying, hey, your car is coming up on 100,000 miles. You need to get your timing belt changed. That's not something we check. That's preventative maintenance that every car that has a timing belt gets done around 100,000 miles. And it's an expensive repair, especially for an Audi. That would probably have been $1,500 to do that. But if you don't do it and it breaks while you're driving, you're going to need a new engine and possibly a new car if it's not worth it. So that's why it's so important to know some of these really big time maintenance and when they happen. I tell people if you're going to buy a car with over 100,000 miles on it or your car is getting to 100,000 miles, that is definitely something that needs to be done, your timing belt. And I really feel like that they should have told you that it's coming up. You need to get this done on your car. But your maintenance section, like I talked about, it's very important, will tell you that this is when you get your timing belt replaced, and every car that has one will need to get it done.
Eve says on Twitter, totally dependent on my dealer's scheduled maintenance reminders at their mercy. Although, as you're saying, your cars, and after I read your book, I went out there and downloaded my car maintenance booklet. You should be comparing what the maintenance booklet is saying with I guess, the advice your mechanics are giving you, Patrice. How do you work that?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And ask them if they're recommending for you to get a fluid flush before your maintenance schedule suggests, show it to them and say, well, can you show me why my coolant needs to be flushed?
Good.
You know, your fluids under your car are certain colors, and they have bright colors like red and pink, which are power steering fluid and transmission, neon colors like green and orange and pink, which are your coolant, right? If they, when they get dirty and brown and they break down, get particles in it, you can tell the difference. And so if they're telling you need a fluid flush and it's not due, say, show me what's going on with my fluid and why it needs to be flushed.
We got a call from Jose in Minneapolis who says, I'm a mechanic. I find this insulting. Jose, no, we are lifting up great mechanics. And he says, this is a work that requires a lot of patience. I'm tired about that stereotype. The mechanics are there to take your money. Jose, this comes out of ignorance on the part of, I think, a lot of female customers who haven't wanted to learn. That's why we believe you're just there to take our money. Patrice is fighting back against that.
Yeah, and I'm not saying that this is the automotive industry's fault. This is kind of just the... Everyone has subscribed to these stereotypes, including women. And so I'm saying this is how we can learn so we are empowered to make the right choice. I'm not saying these mechanics are taking care of or taking advantage of us. Often they're not, and we're still making the wrong choices with our cars. They could be saying we need this, and we really do. And we say, no, I know I have. And they recommend stuff, and I don't get it done because I think I'm always being upsold. And it's about how we can understand our cars better so we know the right way to take care of them and how to talk to mechanics. It's about being transparent. And yes, it is very complex, and it can be really hard, and it does take patience. It also takes patience with your customers and being able to explain to them what exactly is going on with their car and what they're doing, just like a doctor would with your body. The automotive industry struggles with communicating with women, and I think it's because there's not that many women in the industry, and so it's men that they're trying to communicate with us, and just our brains work differently in how you sell to women and get and the emotional needs that make a woman approve a repair service or buying a car. And so it's understanding that and communicating that and being more transparent. Mechanics bring your wall down, just like women need to put our walls down and say, hey, listen, I'm not here to take advantage of you. I want to make sure your car is safe and that you're safe and you feel confident with your decision. Because ultimately, you're in business to perform a service for your customer, not just to fix cars. You want them to be happy with your service, and they're going to be happy when they feel good about their choice. And I'm trying to make sure women feel good about their choice.
Margaret says on Twitter, she's tweeting about Medicar in Woodbury, female-owned and operated. I definitely have to check that out. I wasn't familiar with that. Good. To Judy.
I've heard of them.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Are they a combination of mechanics and something else?
They, I think they used to have like a salon,
okay,
but they've got all these, this whole cool store inside the place where you can go shopping. It's definitely very unique and to draw all different types of customers, right?
Okay.
Thinking outside the box of what people want to do besides just sitting around getting their cars worked on.
Okay, so I'm going to make a visit, a field trip there to Judy in Woodbury. Hi, Judy. Thanks so much for waiting.
Hi, yes, and I thank you for taking my call, and sure. I know Medicar.
Oh, you do?
Great.
Okay.
And I love this discussion. It's so important. I teach driver's ed, and I have for years to teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Through Safeway Driving School. There's a shameless plug. But anyway, we devote, out of a 30-hour curriculum, a full 3-hour full lesson to maintenance. And we talk about fluids. We talk about changing tires. I get the kids out under the hood of my car, and I don't let my own car, and I have them, where's the dipstick, how to check the oil, where's this, locate that, and I don't let the girls hang out and back and visit. It's like, you get up there, and now you get under the hood. I have them open the hood from the beginning. That's not even that apparent in some cars.
That's right.
Know how to open the hood of your own car.
Yeah.
And my funny story is my two daughters went through Safeway Driving School, and shortly after, my younger daughter got a flat tire, and I was close to home. She calls me, and I said, well, you remember what you learned, and it's in the glove box. Oh, you get started. I'm coming. She was halfway through changing her tire when I got there.
That's
let
good.
Her finish it. The funny thing is, though, her dad had told her, just call AAA.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a beautiful day. I mean, no one was in a hurry, and she felt so empowered, and
empowered,
I was so proud of her, and we had such a bonding moment over changing.
Way
her
to
tire.
Go, Judy.
Yeah,
way
I love it.
So
I love that type of stuff.
It's not that hard.
Patrice, do you change your own tires?
I mean, I have, including in my heels sometimes. And I tell people, you know, it's gonna be hard. There's no shame in having AAA, because sometimes if you're on your way to work and you're in heels, you know, you don't want to get dirty. You're probably gonna break a nail. But it's very empowering to be able to do it yourself and to do anything yourself that's hard that you've once thought you couldn't do, and to be able to do it and have that confidence is very empowering with anything. And so I think when it comes around our cars and how women feel about them, when we're learning these things and doing them ourselves, no matter what, if you have a dad or AAA there, it feels good to be able to do these things.
I have just a couple minutes left, but I don't want to miss talking to you about buying a car. And I was a little jarred by your advice that you should see the salesperson as your ally or your buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I always think of this as somewhat adversarial. What am I missing?
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I think salespeople get a bad rap, but they are some really great salespeople out there. And they've seen it all. They've worked with a lot of people. Often the most important decision you can make for your car is the type of car you buy. And so it's understanding the right car for you, not just about what looks good, but your spending habits, your saving habits, your driving habits. How well do you take care of the car? And that's going to depend if you get that aftermarket warranty, you know, if you're going to get the Lexus versus getting a Toyota. So, you know, it's and they know this stuff. Then they should. A good salesman should. And not all mechanics are created equal, not all salesmen are created equal. And so I would get their advice and see what they think often. And not saying you have to go with that. Talk with them instead of saying they're trying to sell me something, and say, listen, I'm just trying to get some information about this car. Other people who have driven it, what's their experiences? You know, it's more for research purposes to make sure you feel good. It's not always saying this person's going to sell me a car. It's building a relationship, which is very important in your service type of industry. Because buying a car is very expensive. It's the second biggest purchase that we make. And the fact that you can just kind of go online and do all these things by yourself and not fully understand the process can be scary. And sometimes it's nice to have someone you can talk to about these questions instead of just looking for things online. And so I think it's important that you find a salesperson. You can establish a relationship that's going to be your ally and can help you find the best car for you.
What are you driving at the moment, and what have you named your current car?
I have a 2010 Volkswagen Jetta. It's all black, interior, exterior, and his name is Alexandria, or Alex for short.
And why? How did the Jetta end up with a name like Alex?
It's all black, and I thought I had a black cat named Alex, and I thought Alexandria, I don't know, it just reminded me of a black cat in all black, so I thought that was a good name for it.
Patrice, come back. This was so much fun. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. Thanks. Thank you.
Patrice Banks's book is called Girls Auto Clinic and the Glove Box Guide, and I'll shoot a couple pictures of the inside of it and tweet that, and I really appreciate all the auto airhead stories. Thanks.